real little from the Zohar, this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Va'erav. Parshas Va'erav is the second Parsha, the second portion in the story of the Exodus, the story of the descent into Egypt, and the Exodus from Egypt, the story of redemption. And the Parsha starts with the Apostolic verse that says, Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe. Elokim speaks to Moshe and says, Ani Hashem. And says that I am Hashem. So Elokim is speaking, which is one name of Hashem, and says that I am Hashem, the name, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Then it says, Ve'era, and I have shown myself. And that's why the portion, the entire Torah portion, is called Ve'era, which is a type of vision, a type of seeing, which means that the portion is going to explain, and the Torah in the beginning of this portion is going to explain the type of visions that a person can have, the type of ways of seeing that's possible in this world. But we have to understand a little bit what the actual verse says, then we'll get into a little what the Zohar teaches. So the pasuk actually starts and says like this, Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe. Elokim speaks. Dibur is Lashon Kasha, this idea of strength, of harshness, of din, of judgment. Elokim, which is a name that's connected to judgment, to harshness, to rule, to order, to structure. Elokim, that's why Elokim is also connected in numeric value to the word Ateva, like the Ramak writes, that it's both 86. So Elokim speaks to Moshe and says, Vayomer Elohi speaks to him and says, Ani Hashem, I am, Yud the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, I am Hashem. Which is a very puzzling statement. Elokim is saying that he's Hashem. What does that mean? That Elokim, you would think that Elokim is not Hashem? And what does it mean that Elokim is Hashem? And who is speaking? Elokim is speaking and saying that I am Hashem. So I am reflected in a reality or a way of being that appears to the world as Elokim, and in a reality that appears to be as Hashem. But those seem to be different. Like the Zohar will soon explain. A little further on, the Zohar says, Vaydaber Elokim, Gzeiras Dina, that when Elokim speaks, this is the idea of judgment. And when it says that I am Hashem, it's revealing another aspect, which is the idea of Rachmanis, of compassion. So Elokim is connected to the world of judgment, and Hashem is connected to the world of Rachmanis, of compassion. So what does it mean that Elokim says that I am Hashem? The words Ani Hashem, in numeric value, the word Elokim is 86, and the words Ani Hashem, Hashem is 26, together with Ani, which is 61, is 87. So it's one numeric value higher than the word 86. So Vayidaber Elokim, Elokim says, Vayomer Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, is that Elokim is Ani Hashem. Elokim is Hashem. We have to understand what exactly that means, and why is this being presented at this point? Then the pasuk continues and says, "Ve'er l'Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov." I've shown myself to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, with the name Kel Shakai, Chesed Yisoid, Kel Shakai, the name of Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. V'Shmi Hashem Lo Nidati Lahem, but I have not shown them my real name. Shmi Hashem Lo Nidati Lahem. So, the simple reading of the pasuk means that the revelation that was experienced by Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, by the patriarchs, by the Avos, was the experience of Kel Shakai. That was the experience, the God of Shin Dalad Yud, which I'll explain what this means. But the name of Hashem does not appear. But this is very puzzling, because if you look through the Book of Bereishis, there are many times that Hashem speaks and reveals himself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what does it mean that Hashem, Vishmi Hashem, Leinidatim, that they didn't have an experience of Hashem, when in fact it seems like from the psukim, from this literal reading of the psukim, is that the name Hashem does appear many times to the Avos. So what does it mean, Shmi Adaiti Lahem? So the first thing to understand is that there is partsufim, which means there's personas, and everything, it's like a holographic image, where every single detail, every single prat, has the entire structure of the entire klal, of the entire principle, which is that when we talk about, in very simple language, when we talk about the different names of Hashem, that there's a name of Hashem, which you don't know exactly what those names mean yet, but there's a name of Hashem that means Elohim. There's a name of Hashem that represents as Hashem. And there's a name, Kel Shakai. There's another name that's Shin Dalad Yud. We have to understand that these are very collective names. And then within that name itself, there's a revealing of Elohim and Avaya, Yud-Kivavke, all the 10 names, all the 7 names, which is that every single name has within it all the other names. The difference is, let's say you'll say like in terms of the Sefirot, you have the Sefirot. So you have, let's say, the Sefirot of Chesed, of kindness, of compassion, and then you have the Gevura of Chesed, the restriction or the discipline within Chesed. And then you have the Sefirot of Gevura itself. So the Gevura itself is different than the Gevura within Chesed. It's the revealing of Gevura, of restrictions, of discipline through the lens of Chesed, through the lens of kindness. So what it means that it was not, the Shem Hashem was not revealed to them, to the Avos, to the patriarchs, doesn't mean that the name didn't experience the name of Hashem. They didn't experience the name of Hashem on its own. They experienced Hashem Bekel Shakai through the name of Shin Dalad Yud. They experienced the name of Hashem, which means they experienced the Yudke Vavke through the Shin Dalad Yud, through the name of Shakai. What does that exactly mean? We'll explain in a second. But let's start what the Zohar says. So the first, the Zohar brings down these psukim, and the Zohar says, "Reb Abba Pasach." Reb Abba begins and says, "Bitchu b'Hashem adiyad, ki b'Hashem tzur olam." That a person should have trust. The book in Yeshaya says a person has trust in Hashem. That everyone has to have trust and faith in Hashem, in the name of Hashem. What does it mean for eternity? That a person has to connect himself with the name of Hashem, because the name of Hashem is the kiyum, is the existence, and what ties together all of existence. And this is called ad. That this idea of Ad, Bitchu Hashem Ad, that the name of Hashem is connected to the letters of Ad. Ad could be from the word of Shalal, Abiza, like things that were spoils. But what does it actually mean? We'll understand a little bit deeper. This is the way the Zohar starts off. Now the story is a story of exile, and the story is the process of moving from a state of exile, of a place of constriction, of limitation, which is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim comes from the word Metzar. Constriction to a place of expansiveness, to openness, to freedom. And it's enfolded within the type of seeing that is possible. There are different types of ways of seeing that is possible. There's the name of Elohim. Elohim represents the element of judgment, of constriction. There is the name Shin Dalad Yud, Shakai, which Chazal said, the Gemara says, Chagiga should die by Lukus by Lamai, or that Oilam was a spasha, that's Yom Adai, like the Medrash says, that it's the idea of Shakai means enough, or the word enough is not really an exact description, it's the exact amount. That's why the bosom of a mother is also called Shadayim, which is the exact amount of, like it's brought down in Shai Oyer, it's brought down in Noam HaLamalach, that the idea is the exact amount, how much is needed. A mother's milk, in order for the baby to be nurtured correctly and have the exact appropriate nutrients to live, the mother's milk cannot overwhelm the child that's nursing. Not too much, but not too little. Too much can overwhelm, can choke the child. Too little will starve the child. So what is Shakai, the name Shakai? The name of Shakai means the name, the divine presence, divine light force that comes into this world, that's exactly enough, that allows for things to be exactly how they are. In order for the table to be exactly in a table with this particular measurement and not be overwhelmed by the divine light that's animating the table, the light that comes, that's revealed, the energy, the life force, the metaphysical life force that's energizing this table or this chair or this object or subject is exactly tailored for the exact amount that it should be able to function. And it should tolerate the divine light that's pulsating through it, that it can exist and it can be maintained without actually being destroyed because too much of light, or malnourished, so to speak, and completely be self-implode because it doesn't have enough. So these are, this is the exact amount. So the measurement of exactness. So Kel Shakai, the name Shakai, Shin Dalet Yud, which is also the name that we place on the doorpost on the mezuzah. You place the name Shin Dalet Yud on it because the doorpost represents the measurement, the shar, the shear, the space that's holding that particular space that you're entering into. That's the measurement of the space, that the space doesn't expand infinitely and it's not too small. Too small place doesn't need a mezuzah, but it has the exact right amount of space. That's what a mezuzah represents. So that's the holding space. The word galus and gula, the word galus and gula, which is redemption and exile, both have in its root, in the beginning of the letter is the word gal, which is a revealing. But there's different types of revealing. There's different types of visuals. There is, to make it a little bit, just to make it a, to make it in a scheme, and to lay it out, there are four ways how we can see the world or interact with this world. The Zohar will further on a little explain. The Zohar will go into a great length about visuals, about lights that could be seen, colors that can be seen, and colors that cannot be seen. Because the Zohar asked a question. Rav Shimon of Yosef Yamachadar, Rav Shimon was sitting once, he was present in this one day, this eternal day. And he asked a question, and Rabbi Lezer asked the question, the son asked the question, what does it mean, Ve'er of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Ma'o Ve'er, what does it mean that he showed himself, that Hashem showed himself to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? It should have said, Ve'idaber Mimboyle, that Hashem spoke to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. What does it mean that he revealed himself? So there's a type of revealing that's happening in this world, and one is the exile revealing, one is a redemptive revealing, and then that itself, there are going to be multiple levels. The exile form of revealing, the way the world is revealed to us, is in its most empirical and superficial way. When you look at something and you only see the external structure of the thing that you're looking at, and it doesn't have to mean necessarily an object that you're looking at, but even if you're looking at an idea, you're looking at history, you're trying to understand your life, and all you see is the immediacy of what's being presented in front of you, then you're in a state of exile. Because then you see life in a very stuck state. Life doesn't seem fluid and possibility and movement. It seems exactly what is being presented. Every single situation in life could be seen as its immediate structure or the way it's being presented. And then when a person says, I see what's really going on, or I see what you're saying, means that even though you're saying these particular things and I'm looking at this particular object, I see something more. An example of this, just of this exile versus a more redemptive state of mind, which is that, first, before the example, the idea is that the name Shakai, the name of the concealment of the thing the way it is to see things on their own, and to see the Shmei Hashem, the name of Hashem, which is the name of transcendence. Hashem represents Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is, Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which spells out the word Hoya Hoya V'yeh, a past, present, and future, it was, it will be, and it is. The idea of eternity, infinity, mystery, hiddenness, is there is a way to look at the world to see it as it is and just present it as it is, and therefore it's a stuck reality, whatever the situation that you're going through. I'm just experiencing right now, you said this to me and therefore I feel hurtful, or I'm being presented with this reality and I feel stuck and uncertain. And the name of Hashem within Shakai, within the name Shin Dalet Yud, is to sense the mystery, the hiddenness, some type of deeper light that's possible within that. So for example, going back to the example would be in the story of the going out of Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, is that the first makkah, the first plague, is when the water turns into blood, to death, and therefore the animals and the fish die within the Nile. Everything becomes rotten, it smells, it represents death. And the way Chazal see this is that the same cup of water that was held by the oppressor, the enslaver, who lived in a real extreme state of a high level of exile and internal exile and exile and alienation from who they truly are in this world. When that person looked at the cup of water, they saw blood, they saw death, they saw endings. And for Klal Yisrael and the people of Israel actually lifted the cup, that same cup of water, they saw water. Now, water's potential. Water means that when you look at a cup of water, you see that, okay, first of all, it's nourishing for you. But water can also be something that can irrigate and can give life to other things. So when you look at water, this is, you know, the planet Earth needs water in order to survive. Every planet, in order to have life, needs water. So water can be seen as some, it is something that's life-giving. Now, you can look at the same thing, and one person sees blood, one person sees water. Not only is one person seeing it as seeing the water, actual water, one person seeing actually as blood, but on a deeper level, it's how we look at the world and how we interact with it changes whether we see it as blood or as water. Because we can look at blood also as water. That blood can represent the life force, and blood can represent the rejuvenation. In the case of a person who lost blood, they can have more blood. You can see blood and it can become fertilizer for animals. There's other ways to look at blood that has a rejuvenating quality. So when you look at something and you see it in its own and you don't see any depth to the experience, to the depth of whether it's an object or a subject or the experience or understanding of something, you don't see the depth of it, you're just seeing the concealment. You're seeing it close, you're seeing it shut, you're seeing Elohim, you're seeing judgment. What's the element of seeing the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, within Kel Shakai, within Elohim? That's the level of seeing or sensing the mystery, the unfolding. So you look at history, you look at your own life, to make it much more applicable to your own life. You look at your own life and you say, generally, I don't understand what's happening in my life. And I'm not sure why I'm in this place, and why am I in this relationship, and why am I in this job, and why am I living here? And there's a certain level of concealment. And then sometimes you have like a higher epiphany to life, where all of a sudden you're sensing that there's a divine guiding hand. There's some type of mystery unfolding. There's a name of Hashem that's present within the experiences. You're still living in an ordinary life with ordinary events, but you're sensing that there's a hidden mystery. There's something bigger at play. That the reason why I'm living here, the reason why I'm in this relationship, the reason why I'm at this job, the reason these are my parents or my children or my spouses, etc., is because there's a bigger narrative that's unfolding. The moment a person taps into the bigger narrative, they tap into the name Hashem, which is unfolded within Kel Shakai. And this is what the Zohar is saying. That and what the Torah is saying, that when it says that the Avos, the patriarchs, experienced the name of Hashem, they experienced the name through the lens of Kel Shakai. In the classic and one of the more famous examples of the way Avram, Hikir's boy Avram, came to the recognition, the realization of the oneness of Hashem, is that Avram looked around the world, and the awareness of Avram came through creation. The awareness of the higher creative power that exists within the universe came through the contemplation within creation itself. Like the Rambam writes, this is the way it should be done as well, which is that you're looking at nature, you're looking at the world, you're looking at the physical reality of it, and then from that, you're not saying this in itself is a deity. It's not the power of water or the Nile is itself a type of God, and the power of fire is a type of deity, which is idol worshiping, which is the worship of the ancient world where they worshiped actually the nature in itself. But Avram came along and said, looked at the world, and the Medrash says, he looked at the world, and he saw a beer delek, and he saw the world on fire, which means he saw many multiple forces in the universe, the force of fire, the force of power, the force of water, the force of every single thing in the universe had a particular force, and hits the bala beer, and then he recognizes that there is a creator to all those forces. There's someone that's maintaining the paradox, paradoxical natures of all these forces in the universe that's holding it all together. There's something larger at play. This is what Avram's intimation, this is what Avram comes to this realization, this is the contemplation and the elevation of his consciousness that evolved to from understanding the world, from a certain grasp of the immediacy of the world, he was able to see something higher, something deeper, something inner, a higher light. It's the mystery within the revealed. It's not a mystery that's hidden in its essence. It's the hiddenness within the revealed world. That's the Gaal. That's the revealing of the redemption, the Aleph, the Gaal, defining the Aleph within the Gaalus, within the exile, defining the one within the things that seem to be concealed. So there's level one, which is just the world of living in concealment. And there's level two, which is when a person elevates himself like Avram and they have a higher experience. And then there is the name of Hashem, the revealing of the name of Hashem. And Apashas Ve'er, the Torah is saying that redemption, true redemption, comes through the name of Hashem. That's what Apayah says, Mi Hashem Hashem Ukarli. Apayah says, I don't have this name of Hashem in my vocabulary. I don't have it written down. This is a higher name that's being revealed specifically for the world of redemption. The difference between the first book of the Torah, which is Bereishis. Bereishis is the natural story of life, whether it's a natural story of a creation, whether it's a natural story, a mundane story of brothers that don't get along, or family dynamics and family love. It's all within the realm of nature. It's a natural, it's connected more to the world of nature. Shmois is the beginning of the story of an exodus. An exodus means that there's the world of nature, and in the natural world, or the assumed natural world, there were certain people that are oppressors, certain people that were oppressors. And this was ontological. Slavery was not just, it was a class system. You're born into the state of slavery and you can never become free. And people believe that. And the ancients definitely believe this. And the Torah says that even though you're born a slave, you can become free. Which is the breaking the patterns of nature. This is why we need the 10 makas, the ten plagues, to break the consciousness of nature in all levels of the 10 spheres. That the nature's, the idea of the miracles of the going out of Egypt is the revealing of the name of Hashem. What's the revealing of the name of Hashem? Transcendence, infinity. That we look at the world and we say the world is a certain predictability, a certain way the world will unfold. And maybe we get a certain indication, intimation of the name of a mystery, something that's hidden, that's unfolding within the great unfolding of life. But we're not attached to anything that's transcendent, utterly transcendent, to the miraculous. Something can break us out of all our form. Something can take us, personally, when a person's feeling very, very in a place of deep constriction and in their predictable mind, they're stuck and they can't get out of the situation, they need the name of Hashem. They need something that's a transcendent power, something that's higher, something that's not subscribed to the lower powers, to the world of the natural order, that allows a person to have the miraculous, to break out of it. This is the name of Hashem. This is the name of Hashem. How does this reflect in our own inner life? So the name of Elohim is the world of judgment. The name of Elohim is the world of our experiences, which is all defined. I have a particular experience. It's limited. It's finite. I have a particular experience. I ate. I slept. I had this thought. I had this feeling. These are particular things. Sometimes a person gets stuck in those experiences. And in order for a person to unstuck themselves out of the experience, they have to experience Ad. So the Zohar said that the name of Hashem is connected to Bitcho Hashem Adi Ad, connected to the name of Hashem, which is the world, the cosmic power of transcendence within the creation. The name of Hashem is particularly the world of the name of revelation, not the name of creation. Creation is Elohim, Bereishit Bara Elohim. Elohim creates, but by Dabar Hashem and Moshe Lemer, that Hashem speaks to Moshe, and the revelation of Torah is in the name of Hashem, which is transcendence. And within the own level of consciousness, the level of Ad, which is aid, which is witness, which is Da, which is awareness, is the ability to deconnect or untangle yourself from the experiences of life and to observe yourself as a witness self experiencing. So the moment you learn to become the experiencer or to be aware of the experiencer as you, as the objective witness aid, that's Das, which is your conscious awareness, to observe yourself having these experiences, is the moment you can get out of those experiences. So Hashem, the name of Hashem, represents transcendence on a cosmic level, but also in a microcosmic level. The name of Hashem represents the ability for us to untangle ourselves from life. Sometimes a person feels enmeshed in anger and totally immersed in some type of negative pattern or behavior, or even or part of it, like a very not necessarily negative, but it's not getting you anywhere. You feel like you're just spinning wheels, you're not moving anywhere. And the only way to untangle ourselves is to connect to Hashem. And within our own consciousness, that means to connect to the part of the self that's not the experiences itself, but the experiencer. The moment I can connect to the experiencer, I can observe myself having the experience. I can be the aid, the witness, the das, and therefore I can just stand back and watch it. So if I get angry, I can stop and say, I'm experiencing anger, but I'm not anger. I'm the one that's entering into the world of anger. but I'm not anger itself. Therefore, I can untangle myself from anger. That's the third level of the name of Hashem. That's the world of the miraculous. That's the world of transcendence. That's the world of separation. But there's a fourth level. Because Vaydaber Elokim Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, Elokim says that I am Hashem. What does that mean? Elokim says, Elokim is, like we said, is the world of judgment, the world of order, the world of concealment. Hashem is transcendent, infinite, extraordinary, miraculous. Elokim says that I am Hashem. It doesn't say that I sometimes reflect as Elokim and sometimes I reflect as Hashem. It says that Elokim is actually Hashem, Hashem or Elokim. It's one and the same. So one and the same means that the reality of the world, the way it's perceived from the paradigm of Elokim, and the reality of world and self, the way it's perceived from the name of Hashem, are not two separate states of consciousness. They could be, because one way you live in a very ordinary life, in a very confined and defined and structured life, and I'm very passionate about the experiences that I'm having, for better or for worse, sometimes hopefully it'll be for better. The other way is a level of detachment, which is I'm living an extraordinary life, which is I'm living in the place of the miraculous, and I'm completely detached myself from the world of the natural. But I'm just an observer. But what is the tachlis? What is the end game? What is the ultimate, what the Torah is saying? In order to have real true freedom and genuine freedom, is Vaydaber Elokim Moshe Ani Hashem, to recognize that Elokim is Hashem. That the ordinary is extraordinary, that nothing in the natural world is natural, but the nature itself is miraculous. This is the higher awareness. When I can recognize and I can have an awareness that it's not that I have an ordinary life and a mundane life and a finite life, and that's the way I'm living my existence is one level. And then to have this inner life that I connect to that transcends me from these experiences and allows me to untangle myself. But how can I marry these two things? This is experientially, what does it mean that Elokim says Ani Hashem? This is the way we experientially think of these ideas. The unification between these two ideas. Or as the Zohar says, the Zohar continues to say a little bit further, there's a whole long piece of Zohar, that the Zohar, after this whole piece of the Ani Hashem, talks about there's Gvanim de Mischazayin, there's lights that could be seen, and there are lights that cannot be seen. And the Zohar says that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov saw the lights that could be seen. The others saw the lights that could be seen, which means they saw the mystery, the hiddenness, the transcendence within the immediacy. They saw the Hitzes Alabala Bira. They lived in a natural world. They experienced the world in a natural world, and that yet from that world they sense that there's something greater unfolding. But then there's Begavan Niloy and Stim Niloy Ischaz, and then there's the higher lights, which is the lights of the transcendence, the light of Yutke Vavke, the name of Hashem. Loy Kerem Mishalaya Bar Moshe, Shehashem Loy Nedati Lahem. These lights are not revealed only to Moshe. Or as Zohar says, a little further, that there are two types, these two types of lights, these two types of visions, these two types of being in this world, the era, and a way this, to see this world. There's a way the world we see with our eyes open. And then there's a way that we close our eyes. In the ways our eyes are open, again, there's two states of the way our eyes are open, because my eyes are open, I'm looking at the world, but you don't really see anything. But the way my eyes are really open into this world is that I can actually see within this world, within the experience, within another person, I can see something deeper. I'm not just subscribing to what's presented to me immediately, but I'm looking deeper. I'm trying to find the mystery. I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to see it, truly see it. That's my why, and that's my eyes open. To see the hitzes of Balabir, to experience like the glimmer, the hitzes, like the spark, the flash of lightning, the flash of insight, the flash of awareness that allows me to see something deeper. But then there's even a higher light, and the higher light is transcendent of this world. That's the light that when it's revealed, there is no world. So where do we experience this type of light, this type of awareness, this type of consciousness? When we close our eyes. When we choose to close our eyes and roll our eyes back the way the Zohar describes us, and go inward and say, here's the world that's being presented. but not only present that on a physical realm, but also on an emotional level, on a physical level, and on a mental level. The world I'm experiencing, the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, this is what I'm experiencing in this world, and all the senses, everything that I'm experiencing in this physical world. Then I close my eyes. And when I close my eyes, I can go inward. And when I go inward, I can get to the place of the aid, the place of the witness. I can get to the place of pure awareness, of pure consciousness, pure awareness of self, from a witness state. And everything just dissolves. And I'm just an observer, and the world disappears. This is why when you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when you say Hashem is one, which is the ultimate idea of oneness, that there is only Hashem, the absolute monotheism, what you do is you close your eyes. Because when you're closing your eyes, you have Mesiras Nefesh, like the Shulchan Aruch says. You actually have self-sacrifice. You're transcending this world. You're going to a higher dimension, which is beyond the world that it seems to appear. But then you have to open your eyes. And this is the fourth level. This is the recognition that Elokim and Ani Hashem and Hashem are one and the same. What does that mean? When you open your eyes, or the way the Zohar says, V'roza da de'ena sasa v'galia, there's a secret, the way the eyes are open, the eyes are closed together. Eyes are open is the first way of looking at the experiences. We're just seeing the way it is. Eyes closed is when we transcend the experience. We enter into the inner part of self and the witness self. We're just observing and we're not entangled with the experiences. But then there's another way of looking in this world, which is the highest way, when we can have our eyes closed while it's open. Or we can have our eyes open while it's closed, which means that we know how to marry these two ideas. We're able to live in this world, fully engage in this world, fully engage in the experiences of this world, and the emotions of this world, and the thought processes of this world, and in the tangible, sensible things that we have in this world, and yet always remain transcendent, always remain higher. And whenever we feel ourselves being pulled down, we can always go back inward. And when we feel pulled inward in a way that we can completely disappear, we always can open our eyes, and as our eyes are continuously being open, to enter back into this world. And when we can harness these two realities or recognize the awareness that Elokim is Ani Hashem, that the ordinary, the external, the world of concealment is the extraordinary, is actually the miraculous. And there is no separation. There is only one. And one is reflected sometimes in something that is externally also miraculous, like which is the name of Hashem. And one is also expressed in things that are externally unmiraculous, like the world laws of nature, which is the name of Elokim. But it's both the magic, the mystery that's being revealed. It's the highest levels of lights that's being revealed both in the concealments and both in the revelation, both in the world of Elokim and the world of Hashem. And we can live in this place. We can achieve true freedom. And this is why Moshe, who was able to have this type of vision, this type of seeing of an air that which it should appear to him, this type of vision, he was able to maintain that paradox. It really goes back to the burning bush, where the bushes still exist, and yet there's a fire, and they both simultaneously exist. And throughout Moshe's life, Moshe is going to be the one that's going to be able to hold that paradox, the one that's able to draw down the makas of where there are opposites that are happening at the same time, like at the end of this week's parsha, which is Bar, the fire and the ice, which is the holding of paradox, is specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the revelation that happens to Moshe. Is Pasach HaSeder opens up the path for all of us to be able to access this point, to access the highest truth, and to live this way. Hashem shall bless us. We should. And you should have a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbos.